Welcome back to How It's About with
Justin
and Lauren,
Zane,
and Kaja.
This is a very special episode on Paonia, the beautiful, magical mountain town in Colorado. We hope you enjoy this episode.
So, Paonia, Colorado. Who's ever heard of it? Maybe not a lot of us. It is a well-kept secret, but guys, keep it that way, please. It's kind of sandwiched between Aspen and Grand Junction on the western slope of Colorado, not near Denver. We're talking the good side, right? That's where the world's largest aspen grove is. The frickin' tributary to the Colorado River runs through here. This is an amazing place to live, but don't tell everybody.
It actually doesn't exist in reality. You have to step through a magical vortex to arrive in the celestial
like
town. Yeah. But yeah, we're super excited to be talking with Zane and Kaja tonight about Paonia because they have been living here for how many years?
Four years,
which means they're practically local. But they're very special to us. Zane was one of Justin's groomsmen at our wedding.
And we go way back from Bible college.
So, yeah.
Many wonderful stories here in Paonia, working in a camp above Paonia, and farms here, and churches, and all kinds of great stuff. We've been making a lot of stories here.
Totally. Yeah. So, tell us about the story of moving here, coming here, why Paonia, what was your first experience like, and what...
Well, my first experience actually was with Zane, and the first time I met Justin was in Paonia.
Wow.
And their reunion was quite noisy, I will add. And
and violent.
Probably. In all the best
There's a lot of bear hugs.
Yes.
I'm actually pretty sure that we ran across a field of flowers
with open arms
in slow motion and then hugged each other with epic music in the background. But
Yep.
No. Nobody will ever tell.
Zane actually asked me out right outside of Paonia camping with Justin conveniently making himself scarce.
Off
our
the
other
Ruby
friend.
Anthracite.
Attaboy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
always been pretty special to you going back.
Well, actually, I first came to Paonia because Justin Houts. So we were in Bible college at over at Marietta, and we actually were hanging out. We were friends. We went camping a couple of times, and Justin was taken off to Paonia. He had came here on like some weird type of mission trip type thing, but really he just loved the town, and I wasn't sure what I was doing with my life, and Justin just goes, hey, you want to go to Paonia? And I literally, in that type of thought process, was like, I don't know what else I'm doing, so sure. And so me and Justin literally dragged me out here, it became one of those places that, you know, it affects your life. In the long run, I ended up finding I had more friends in Paonia than I had anywhere else, including my hometown.
Mm-hmm. We were not happy after we were married there. We spent the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked if Zane could live anywhere, where would it be? Because we were obviously moving somewhere. And he actually said in Paonia at a friend's yurt. And so we shot for Paonia. We actually ended up in the yurt for a few years.
Hold on, what's a yurt for those that don't know?
A yurt is a canvas house that apparently like Mongols used to live in type deal. It's made out of canvas. It has some wood to like kind of
it's
frame
round.
It up. It's round.
Yeah.
Big skylight in the middle.
Yeah.
Outhouse for the toilet.
Yeah. For the record, Justin's been trying to get me to move into a yurt since we started dating.
Since we met. It's like, all right, here's the game plan.
I miss the yurt.
Kaja's
I really
selling
do.
Me on it. She is.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
We had our first kid in the yurt, and I thought it was big enough for three, but it might have been getting a tad cramp with the giant dog, too.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we ended up back here and live in a normal house now, but love it. And it is special, and the people that is really the seller is our friends that are here. You guys excluded, unfortunately, but
they have definitely been trying to get us to move here, and it's, you know, who knows? We don't know the future.
Anything could happen. We'll be here sometime.
Totally.
Just look out. So what, if you could say it in a nutshell, what makes Paonia different than all the other little 5,000-person towns around?
I would say one of the reasons it is a different town than the other 5,000 town, or 5,000 people town, it's actually smaller than that.
Oh, wow.
Like 2,000, right?
It's, yeah, about
Ish.
That.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say it's community. One, it's beautiful. There's lots of beautiful places, but this is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact that when we go to the park, we run into people we know. It's a town that is actually...
If not, you get to know them most of the time.
It's a community. It's actually one of the few places I actually found community in. We ended up making lots of friends, and we are raising our children here. And the idea is that there's gangs of children on bikes actually still living that growing up dream where most of the country we're actually like scared of our kids being kidnapped. And here I'm pretty sure my kids are doing the kidnapping. So,
Yeah, definitely a lot of community in small town. And it is kind of like a weird section of... right at the mountains with beautiful views, and it's a weird, beautiful little pocket, hiking friends, a lot of outdoor sort of push for activities and,
definitely.
Yeah, it's just like a neat community of,
well, it's a weird community because you actually have where two worlds meet. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a red and blue meet, and it's a purple town. I mean you have hippies and ranchers actually going to the same store, and they actually like each other. And it's hard to tell the difference between which one's which. It's very much, you kind of see that like the division of our country is actually kind of a farce, because we actually do get along. It's been amazing hanging out with ranchers who love going camping and just hunting and stuff, and they're hanging out with other guys who just like going camping. Maybe they're not hunting, but they both love nature. Really, we start to find, we have a picnic in the park here, and the entire town shows up. And there's some tourists, but really, it's the town. And the town is just having a party.
Different ages, different likes, and everybody just hangs out and enjoys it together. And
Wonderful. Something I've noticed about Paonia is the art. And it might be partly because one of the main characters of our story here is Seth, and he's an incredible artist. He does...
Seth Weber, check him out online.
Seth Weber, he's great. But I just, when I think of Paonia, I think colorful. I might have that synesthesia thing where you like associate letters with colors. So when I see the actual word Paonia, it's a very bright, colorful name. But I also just picture the blue of the sky. It's the Colorado sky. We're like all the way up in the heavens, the green and the gold of the land, and just splashes of paint is what I picture. And the cherries, the red of the cherries, and
the blossoms
and the crop farm, or the first fruits crops farm, the peaches and everything. So, and then just everyone in the town seems to be an artist. Everyone has some sort of form of art that they do. There's tons of visual art. There's performance art going on. There's murals everywhere. People are making crafts and just felting and beads and all sorts of crazy things. So
that's true. I love that. Yeah. I mean, Kaja even did a little bit of a sewing art show just because she was inspired enough that she's like wanting to join it. It's beautiful stuff. I think that you just... Or like, wow, textiles is a very big industry.
Yes. But there's everything. Clay, Seth Weiss does pottery. And I've tried a little bit of a lot being here just with so many people doing it. It's definitely a big part. And again, a lot of crossover of different backgrounds and values coming together and making cool stuff together is also neat. There's several community art projects that have been done in town, which is neat too.
I love it.
Definitely a colorful place. Colorful and characters.
Everyone seems to buy everyone's stuff. Yes. So everywhere you go, you see Chelsea's pottery, and everywhere you go, you know, they're just...
No.
Everyone's buying everyone's stuff.
So. Yeah, they support each other.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's really cool.
I mean, I'm pretty sure all the tattoos are now Seth's tattoos.
Yep.
Yes.
There's actually, they're about to have their big like holiday craft fair, and everybody like goes and gets Christmas presents, buys each other stuff again.
It's like, how could you possibly buy anything other than everything that you'd buy at the craft fair?
Yes.
Yeah, so. Wow. Good stuff. And there's a lot of music here, too, yeah? You have that picnic in the park thing. Is that the...
Picnic
in the park.
Picnic in the park.
So that's like the big like advertising, but literally... If you actually, if you go down to the brewery or something, and if you were actually after going to a person's house and hearing an entire band, it's not that hard. In all honesty, there's random. Like, our boss actually has a piano in his workshop, just because in the wintertime he just plans on playing mm-hmm. the piano when the mood hits.
That's
it. I mean, it's one of those towns where, you know, even if you don't know how to play, they don't even care. It's just, I don't know. This town's about two steps away from being a musical. It's kind of yeah. scary.
Well put.
But like
well
we said, put. Don't tell anyone how great it is here.
Right. They're trying You're to allowed keep it to sweet. Come and visit and move here, but not tell anybody.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Something that Justin and I have done over the years is we will be driving on a long road trip from here to there or whatever, but we always tend to show up to Paonia more or less unannounced. Yeah. And these guys have been so gracious every time to just, they always throw together these big parties.
And we invite everybody we ever met. Everyone and they comes. All come.
Yep. It's so awesome. So that's kind of part of our, the drama of our life as far as Paonia is concerned is we just tend to show up and then they're just incredibly hospitable and welcome us in. Yeah. And I will say this trip in particular has been really helpful for me. It's been 2 months since we got back from our world trip, and this is our first trip. This is our first time really leaving Washington and feeling like we're in a different place. And I remember just looking out at Lamborn, this gorgeous mountain just outside these guys' windows, and just being like, I'm in a different place again.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's why you're telling me about it, how it's about. You're telling me all about it.
Exactly. So, Paonia, we love it. And, we're going to edit a nice, solid ending to this section and figure out a transition.
As a fan, I've been wanting to just pick at, you know, your guys' brains. Me and Justin have been friends for a long time, but because of it, when I was listening to your podcast while you were traveling around, I was wanting a few things out of you guys, which you guys wouldn't share necessarily with the whole world, but now I'm forcing you to.
Awesome. Let's do it.
But one of our questions we were kind of having was, in all honesty, what were you really, what was it?
What was like the comfort of home that you missed the most while traveling was one thing I was wondering.
Costco hot dogs, hands down. I mean, I thought about those things at least once a month. I mean, just the fact that you can walk into this store completely designed for the American heart, spend $1.50, get yourself a hot dog and a beverage, and then walk around and eat free samples and look at a 4K TV. That's just not anywhere else in the world. They have not figured out the megastore. Hot dogs are not that cheap.
Totally.
And sometimes you're like, what is in this hot dog?
It might be a hot
normalcy.
Dog.
Yeah. No, yeah. Sometimes it might be hot dog.
Yeah. That's a good one.
American consistency was a bit, you know, because you just never know. You go for a slice of pizza, you don't know if it's going to taste like pizza. Ooh. You go for spaghetti, gosh darn it, it will not taste like spaghetti in most places.
My answer is kind of along those lines. Yeah. It's, on the one hand, it's very exciting to be in a new place. You're experiencing new things and your brain is just exploding. Oh my gosh, this is so different. This is so fun. But I think at some point when it comes to certain things, the thing that I missed was knowing what was going to happen next. This in relation to transportation, in relation to accommodations, and most specifically in relation to I need to go to the bathroom. What is going to happen now? Everywhere is different. You could have a hole in the ground. You could have a squatty potty. You could have a sort of like bidet situation. Just and it's not
like a spray hose on a sink, but dangling from a drippy or a poopy faucet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Or just a bucket that you were supposed to splash yourself with. So yes, there were. And I think with travel too, just you would get on the bus that you thought you had to be on, and then halfway through the ride it would stop and you'd be commanded to get off the bus, and you would sort of be forced to go buy food at this specific restaurant, and then
which was food poisoning guaranteed.
And you're waiting in line for the food, and then all of a sudden the bus driver starts honking and starts like rolling away, and you're like, no, wait! And you have to like abandon your food and run back on the bus because they will not wait for you, and they're like glaring at you.
And they have your bags, by the way.
Oh yeah. Anyway, just or then they would command you to like get on this other bus, and you just never know what the connections are going to be. How are you going to get from A to B? You also, paid, yeah. Super weirdly with restaurants, like customer service, when you're sitting down to eat, what is going to happen? Oftentimes we felt like our expectations of what a server's interaction with you is going to be totally just...
Yeah, we'd sit there for an hour and realize they had forgotten our food.
This happened like a weird number of times.
The food was not happening.
And then it just like, we were like, I'm getting that weird feeling that our food is not being made.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we'd like talk to our server and he would, you know, or he or she would just like kind of give us this like blank look of like, uh-oh. Very weird. Yeah.
Were there any countries where you felt like it was because you were a tourist, like the locals were all normal and it was you're the tourist, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to stick it to you a little type thing.
Generally, kind of in...
Just different cultural.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if you can put your finger on a certain country. It was...
Or areas.
Here's the bottom line. When Justin picked the food, it was a home run. When Lauren picked the food, it was typically one of those situations. When Justin picked the accommodation, we had bed bugs. When Lauren picked the accommodation, we were paying $2 a night and it had a pool.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
We're just saying. Yes.
We had our strengths
and our weaknesses. Yes. And Lauren would see a bright, shiny new sign that said carrots. And she's like, ooh, carrots. And we go in there. That's when they forgot our food.
That was weird.
Justin would see the smiling guy with no teeth and a cart full of delicious smelling food.
Yeah.
Some of the best food we ever ate in our life.
Totally.
And no sickness.
Yep.
Okay. I have one question that I've been dying to ask.
Yep. Awesome.
Perfect. What was the most hilarious fight you guys had over the most stupidest thing?
Oh.
Gosh.
Fight night.
We can cut this part out, but let's just think about that for a bit, because I think it's going to take me a second to think.
Mm. That's going to be a good one.
That was a much better question. I'm always more
the drama.
Curious about traveling.
I mean, I remember a funny moment. I would not say it was the most ridiculous fight, but we were on Koh Phi Phi.
Island.
It was one of the party islands of Thailand. And
we found this
pool party, and it was amazing.
Yes.
It was a free pool at our hostel. We're having so much fun. And It was a lot. It's Thailand. You're meeting people from all around the world, and we had met these British people, and they all went away. And Lauren's like, let's go watch the tourist boxing ring. They just put two random tourists together, and they hit each other, and it gets really violent. So we were there, but I was like, those British people are really cool. Let's hang out with them. And I was convinced. I said, Lauren, if we lose these people, we'll never see them again. I was adamant. Like, we'll never see them again.
He was really ferocious about it.
Yeah, I was like, we just made friends on an island. Let's hang out with our friends. Why are we going around random places? Lauren's like, it's a pretty small island. We'll see them again. And you know, I was frustrated about it. And it was just this random moment. I just knew we would never see these people again.
And they were like our...
20 minutes later. Ran into him.
But it was super funny because we run into them and they're like, we lost Jessica. Or wait, British accent. We lost Jessica. Can you help us find Jessica?
Yeah,
and so we had to like roam around finding Jessica.
It's possible we never found Jessica.
No. We found her like 5 minutes later. Again, you were freaking out about it. You're
Jessica
like,
was
no,
dead
she's
in
gone.
The ocean.
She's dead.
Jessica's belly
like,
up.
I guarantee she's down the street. Sure enough, we
found
Jessica.
I was just freaking out. I thought this was the island of the lost where people disappear, never to be seen again.
It was like two streets on this island. I don't know what you were thinking. But yeah, that was a funny one. I thought you were going to say that when we got to the boxing ring, you were supposed to pay like $10 to get into this thing. And Justin shamelessly does these like things where we sneak into places where we shouldn't be.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, no, babe, this isn't going to work. He's like, trust me. So he just like waits until the servers are all kind of like in a different area. And we just like act like we know where we're going. Go sit down at a table where there had recently been a group that had just left. So there was stuff and like
Cokes
and things. And so he just picks up an empty Coke can and just is holding it to look like we belong there.
The lady comes over. Oh, do you guys want drinks? Oh, we're gonna work on.
We're
these
good. We're good. So cheap.
And everybody else is paying through the nose for these overpriced beverages
to watch
two white people hit each other.
Oh, it was
stupid. Really just slap at each other with boxing gloves.
It was pretty pathetic. But anyway, that's what I thought.
We got out there paying zero bot.
Listen,
no bot.
Can you hear that? There's a train going by. Ooh, gnat sound. That's fun. Anyway, yeah, that was a pretty stupid. That was a rough. Yeah.
We've had a lot of those moments where my ability to be shameless in a moment and Lauren's ability to hold propriety regardless of if we'll ever see these people again That brought up a lot of moments here and there.
So. And the train is getting louder. This is fun. Yeah. But that was the night, if you did hear the Thailand episode, that was the night that our room, our hostel room, was literally located right above these massive, I'm telling you, like 5x5
concert
by five
speakers.
Huge, huge speakers. And we, thinking that we were younger than we were, we're like, let's stay up, let's, you know, explore the town. 11 p.m. comes along and we're done. We are dead. We're going to go to sleep. But not so for the rest of the island. The rest of the island was up dancing till 2 a.m. And I swear my pillow was like jumping off of the mattress to the beat of the bass.
We should have looked at the reviews.
It was so loud. Oh my gosh. But after 2 a.m. I think we fell asleep.
Needless to say, we were on a boat in the morning off of this little island.
Totally. So
one was enough.
Yeah. Okay, I got another question.
All sweet. Right, good question.
Okay. So, especially around your guys' talking about Nepal and your thing, yeah. I was actually kind of curious if there was like a moment when you guys were on your trip when it was like, because of where you were, you kind of had like, I don't know, like a divine experience or like a really God moment.
Ooh,
you know, where you're like, felt like, I don't know, it's like what pilgrimages are supposed to be about, but if you actually had one and where that was and what it was.
Ooh. Yeah.
Honestly, Zane, it's funny you mentioned that because it was like right before I happened to call you on the phone.
Ooh.
We just got done hanging out with some missionaries in northern Thailand after some amazing island hopping and scuba diving training. So, first of all, the hope that I had of discovering random beaches and gaining new skills and making new friends and all being in a beautiful tropical paradise, that really happened for me in the Thai island. So that was already, my tank was full. Then we go and hang out with these missionaries that are putting it all on the line. They're crossing borders, they're getting detained and spending nights in jail, all for the cause of faith. And we're getting to do a morning Bible study with them and pray with them and sing with them, and Lauren led them all on a dance and really made some great friends. And they're frontline people and they're cool people. And then we got dropped off at an airport, and I called Zane and said, it's still real. It's out there. That dream we thought that died with our 20s is still around, you know. And, you know, Zane hit the middle ground and said, yes, you're right. And, you know, normal life is okay, too. You know, he said something like that. So.
Yeah, that's important.
But that was just such a revelation for me because I realized that, A, adventure is still out there, and B, adventure with God is still out there. And it might not even be as far as you think.
Cool.
What about you?
For sure, I think my biggest breakthrough was in the UK on the dance tour. This was, I'm really sorry we haven't done this episode yet. So, spoiler alert. I think we got back to Spokane and life just got busy. And we, we haven't done our UK episode yet, but it was really... those of you who are following us on Instagram probably saw some pretty crazy photos of us in costumes from the 70s and like crazy, crazy stuff happening, dancing in public in front of cathedrals and marching through parks, public parks, just like singing and going crazy. So it was like Godspell, but real life. So if you know the show Godspell. But yeah, it was amazing. So we got to meet up again with the legendary Andy Rain, who we met in India. And he invited us along on a whirlwind of a pilgrimage dance ministry tour with the most eclectic group of crazy, wonderful, radical people. And I think it was the community there that we got to share, combined with the... we'll go more into detail on it in our UK episode, but just the stories and the history that we got to hear and be a part of, and the places that we got to visit that were very sacred, and the dancing that we got to do, it wasn't like crazy flashy, ooh, look at me dance performance. It was very simple movement that was set to like a very simple song and a very simple concept, like strangers meeting each other and, you know, becoming friends. And so we would do these very simple movement things and invite people who were just watching to be a part of them, just a very simple concept, and people would have like breakthroughs and realizations, and you would just see something happening. I don't know how to even describe it, but...
Yeah, people were getting set free.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Really cool stuff happening. Yeah. And personally, for myself, the community of dancers we were with were very insistent that I not perform. And they would see me in any exercise that we were doing. They're like, you're just using your technique to kind of like look good. And we want to see your real heart in your dance and in your performance. Mm-hmm. And they like, they were ruthless, but they were kind and sweet about it. But they like wouldn't let me just put on a mask and like be like, I'm a performer. They were like, no, we want to see your heart. Mm-hmm. And just over the 2 weeks that we were with them, that was constantly asked of me. And they were really supportive in like helping me to like open up and be real in how I was portraying things and how I was portraying myself. So that has actually, I'm still wearing the bracelet from Sherwood Forest that Andy and I both got, these bracelets, and it's still like, we're already in communication with Nick Breakspeare to like see if we can go back in the summer and do some more crazy stuff. So we might be doing that again, and you will hear more about that in the future. But that was a huge breakthrough for me and kind of brought a lot of life back. I know that sounds a little vague, but we'll get into it more in our other episode.
So, I mean, that's the best part, I think, is, I mean, I don't know, traveling around the world and not having it impact your soul would be like the worst tragedy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, me as your guys' friend, I was really listening to see how this was going to change you. And I guess a really good last type of question would be is, how did it change you? Like, how did that whole entire experience of going around the world and being on your own and ending up in these weird situations change your very being?
I mean, the first thing that definitely comes to mind, and I was talking to Zane about this the other day, is just different times in life, adulting, all the things that kind of happen as post-college life happens, you sort of lose the stars in your eyes. You sort of say, well, there was a dream, but I need to accept reality. There was a passion, now I just need to accept an interest. You know, there's all these kind of compromises you make. I always knew that seeing the world was something I still had down deep as a star that was still burning. And going out and doing that, going out and seeing that, going out and, you know, throwing caution to the wind and seeing what could be seen and doing what could be done and really expanding those horizons quite a bit, it made me realize that the stars were there all along. There was just clouds in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there, I don't think any of us ever truly lose sight of those things that drive us to passion. We just let other things get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not so much finding things again, it's getting that which was out of the way. And I think that happened, and the fear that I've struggled with even the last few months has just been, it kind of can creep back. You can sort of accept the predictable again. You can accept the things that will get in the way of what you truly desire. And not in a selfish way, desire, but desire because it's built into you. So I'm not sure what it is about travel that can open that back up, but I'm still processing whatever clouded it out in the first place. And just that, I think that pulse that I found again of who I used to be, who I always still was, and who I actually really want to be as far as living into passions, living into true calling. I think I'm wholly discontent to not let those clouds roll back in. And that was amazing.
On the one hand, I feel like, this is cheesy, but I feel like a global citizen. Like, I feel like I see the world and I see faces. I see the people that we met along the way. And I see how that person in India was my friend and how that person in England was my mentor. And that, you know, just the funny experiences that you have with making friends in hostels and your travel community is a real thing. Like we didn't really realize, we thought we'd go to places and like connect with the community there, but there is a real connection between travelers. And so you have, it's almost like college again. You instantly are just able to make friends super quick because you know that you're in the same boat and it's a crazy boat to be in. And so I just got to look at Spokane as like, it's another place on the map. Just as Sicily is a place on the map and they're doing cool things there, just as Nepal is a cool place on the map where they're doing things, I'm doing things, we're doing things in Spokane. And we're a part of making the world more beautiful and trying to take what we love and have it manifest in the world. And so I think I have like a peace inside to, rather than like this kind of like FOMO of like, oh, what they're probably doing things better elsewhere. And like, they're probably, you know, amazed, you know, just inspired and doing all this crazy stuff. And we're not, you know, they, you know, just this FOMO is really the best way to say it. But I don't know, there's just this settledness of like, because I feel like everywhere we went, people would be like, what are you about? What do you do back home? And like, what, because there were, you know, missionaries doing their thing, people building things, creating things. And it just kind of made me have this hunger for like, what am I doing? What am I building? And I want to do that as part of being a part of this global network of people, especially Christians who are just, what's your ministry about? What art are you creating to change people? And I want to do that, not just because it's a good thing to do in Spokane or wherever I happen to be, but because it kind of puts me in this group of people, like especially just the people that we met in India, the ICDF, the dance people there. They all have their passion projects and their things that they're doing all over the world. And I'm like, I'm one of those. That's really cool. It makes me excited about that. And I also feel like a lot of the encouragement that we got from the radical communities in the UK, they were just encouraging both of us to connect more to our roots and be more wild. Mm-hmm.
No one told us to calm down.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so I don't know. There's so much more. Yeah. And it's also more simplified because it comes back to just discovering who we truly are as individuals and as a couple, and to cut all the rest of the crap, like bring it into like purity of who we are and what God is doing with us. So.
Totally.
Yeah. And that culture is a construct and that we don't have to do things simply because that's how everyone does it. But there should be good reasons behind the things that we choose. And so I think a lot of the times I have one of the many journals that I was writing in was just like notes on like, this is the way that people do life here. Something really simple. Like they always have this tray of tea and spreads to like put on toast. I just want to have like a tray of tea and toast, you know, and just have it out and available all the time. Or like, just even silly things like always growing your own garlic and then having like a garlic braid in your kitchen and just, I don't know, just little things, little life things that I was like, ooh, I want to do that. Or like Thailand, they have all their tables are really low to the ground and like you sit on the ground and I want to make one of those tables and like have a low to the ground table. Yeah. So I'm starting to ramble. I'll cut that out. But yeah. I think a big way we've changed too is I feel like international travel is so much easier, less expensive, and way more accessible than I ever thought.
Oh, yeah.
And so the thought of going back to visit our friends isn't like this huge ordeal. It's just like, oh, when will we have the time? Because we certainly can make it work. If you buy your tickets in advance, things just really are not that expensive. And if you have a place to stay and
Shop at a grocery store.
Keep
it simple.
Easy.
You gotta eat anywhere you are.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It opens up the whole world. So.
Totally.